D4, number 7A.
We take the word vertical and consider it in terms of the synonyms for God, as we have it on the last column on your sheet of paper. Here, I think you begin to realize right away what it will mean if we have the courage and the discipline to adopt a completely new system of reference. I think it must ring now, by now, in your ears, morning, noon, and even in your sleep, that I always talk about a new system of reference, see, which we have seen yesterday. From the divine point, only the capitalized terms are really terms to which we should refer to in our consciousness. Here, when we have the word in divine science, we have the synonymous term life as one life. And what does that mean? See, that we have just the consciousness of one life. Why is it one? Because divine science is on the level of oneness. Therefore, from that level, we are only allowed to be conscious in terms of oneness. And as the word is the word of life, therefore, here it is stated that there is only one life. And when you consider what that means, then one of the rules which are always practical is that you ask yourself, what does that counteract? What are the opposite beliefs to that? What does it annihilate? What does it make obsolete if there is only one life? If there is only one life, you see, then we should never, never, never again think in terms of many lives. Because if there is one life, then the opposite is many lives. So the moment we think of my life and your life and the life of my family and the life of my business and the life of my children and the life of my husband and the life of this and the other, we are right off the track. See, think what it will mean if we lose completely that sense that there are more than one life, so that we are no more thinking in terms of individual lives, his life, my life, your life, her life, the nation's life, the business life, the social life. All that just becomes obsolete because it's a false point of reference. If being is one, there is only one life, one being, then consciousness must stay with that point and only try to reason and think and feel as one, one life. Therefore, it is an undivided life. That one life is an undivided life. So, this counteracts within us all those beliefs that there is a life which is divided up in periods, the life before death, before birth, then the life with birth, and the life after birth, then the whole human life, then the life before death, and the life after death. This is all dividing up the one life in lives. It's not the undivided life. So all those questions which we ask ourselves, what has been before birth, what will be after death, are all false questions. You can never answer a false question. So one must be quite aware that people struggle very strongly. What will happen after this? How is life after this? What is that life? What is the form of life after death? And so on. These are wrong questions. And if we don't see that, then we try to find an answer to a wrong question, we never find it. And the whole mankind really is striving to find an answer, how is life after death? As if death would bring forth life. So think of that picture we had yesterday of that cone that rides down through the surface. And just think that that cone, say, is that one life. Well, that one life remains the same one life, no matter if it is above that surface, if it touches that surface, if it goes through that surface, or if it's beneath that surface. It remains that what it is. And therefore, it makes an enormous difference for us if we go out into everyday life with the consciousness that we have not an everyday life, but that there is life. Just being life. Undivided life. And not get away anymore from that standpoint. Then we see that this one life is an eternal life, that it is life eternal, that it is the isness of life. I don't like eternal life because eternal always gives a sense for a long time. But I like to think of the isness of life. That life is, that being is, and therefore never changes and remains what it is. It is the everlasting life. Now, the moment one entertains that, You see, these things are not something which one should just hear and say, yes, we know that. It's something which is so simple that one should think about them for half an hour or an hour. Because only then one takes into consideration all the opposites that are excluded by it. So if we think about the isness of life, we just have a feeling, well, then this life is inexhaustible. If life is the isness, is, can never be not is, therefore the isness is everlasting, inexhaustible, can never be lost, can never wane away, can never wither away. It is an isness that remains isness. And that needs a culture, and the culture, because all through our lives we have been thinking in the opposite way. We have been thinking that life grows and withers away, that life comes and goes, that life becomes stronger and weaker, and so on. And it takes a reculture of consciousness, because we find a new system of reference, a reculture which just can sit still, quietly, peacefully, and just contemplate the very fact that isness is. That isness can never be not is, not isness, therefore inexhaustible, cannot wane away, can have no beginning, no end. That this one life is self-existent, as we have there, therefore that nothing needs to support this life. We need no supporter of life, but that life supports itself and gives us that secure sense, so to say, that we feel that life is its own self-supporting power, its self-reproducing power, its self-renewing power. And so we don't feel that existence can ever fade away, that there is therefore beginning and end, birth and death. What has been before birth? Wrong question. What comes after death? Wrong question. What is between birth and death? Wrong question. All these are wrong questions. And we think they are right questions, that they are the questions of mankind. And we think that that are the questions which mankind for thousands of years have been thinking about. And they have been, and they have never found the real answer because the question was wrong. Now, we begin to realize that because we put the wrong question, mankind could never answer that question. And it is a matter of putting the right question. And naturally, here the divine system of reference helps us to put the right question. Life, the one life, therefore can only live itself. Life, living what? Itself. Life, capital L, living life, capital L. We can somehow remember that life, capital L, lives life, capital L. And you spend another evening with that. It's renewing. It's renewing. It just is so powerful, so overwhelming. And it frees us from that sense that we should live the one life. And we feel like Paul, I can't live that life. That which I want to do, I can't do. That which I don't want to do, that I do. That we drop here. When we consciously see that the life lives us and that we do not need to live God. It sounds heretical for a Christian scientist to hear and say that we don't have to live God. We don't have to live Christian science. But that life lives us. That science lives us. And that is a real scientific proposition. All the rest is religious, is a moral effort, is metaphysical, but not science. So that we don't even find the responsibility to live the right life. We have perhaps, the only thing we have is to accept that life lives us. And if we can accept that from morning, noon, and night, that life lives us, that life lives life, actually, then we have no responsibility of what's going on in our lives. Then we have put the responsibility back to life, capital L. So, this is what we get here as the one life in divine science, that sense of infinite individuality, one life, one indivisible life. That's individuality. Indivisibility of being. Oh, it's terrific. Terrific to think that being cannot be split up. We lose every sense of fear. We lose every sense of anxiety when we see that. And you can see how simple the answers become when we start out from the right proposition and ask the right questions. Now, let's see what happens when we come to absolute Christian science. When we come to absolute Christian science, then we have no more just life, but we have life, truth, and love, a combination which Mrs. Eddy uses very, very, very often in her textbook. And the question is, have we asked ourselves what she means by it? Was it just that those three terms came into her mind very often, or did she mean something by it? Well, naturally, it means something very definitely. What does it mean? What must it mean? Well, we know the pedal note of absolute Christian science, the main tone of absolute Christian science, is to show that the Word of God creates all that is to be created. Therefore, it has that sense that life cannot just be and remain its own existence, but that it must have an expression of its existence, and that is indicated by truth and love, because love is always the fulfillment of reality. So here we get the word of life, truth and love, but we must see it as a unit, really. They are a unit, they are not a sequence. They are not a sequence, they are a unit, they are a chord. As if when you play three notes at once, I'm not a musician, but I think you call it a chord. And so it's that what we hear here, but perhaps with the overtone of life. Really, we should call it here, it is life, truth, love. Not life, truth, love. It is life, truth, love. Because we come and have the authority of the one life from divine science, and now comes that whole impulsion of that one life, the creative impulsion of that one life, that spontaneity of that one life, which says that what that one life is constantly bringing forth in you, that is the true life, truth. And that is already at the point of fulfillment, love. It's not something that has to be fulfilled or achieved. It is right from the being, right from its inception in life, it has already the right form and is already fulfilled. Because in being, nothing needs time to be fulfilled. So here one feels that wonderful impulsion of life. See, which says all that there is going on is that one being as a terrific impulsion of the spontaneity of life is constantly bringing forth that which is right and true, truth. And that is already in a state of fulfillment, of completion, of accomplishment, of perfection. That's love. And that takes away the sense that there is a creative process going on. So the accent is on life, on the first one. See. But they go on simultaneously. See, it is exactly what I would have liked to show today, but which I can't show today. It takes about 4 hours. Namely, that the whole Bible begins with the days of creation, you see, with the creative impulsion, with the days of creation, and that which makes the days, those 7 days, come forth. That which is impelling those 7 days to come about is really the impelling force of life, truth and love, because every day on those days of creation it is said, let there be. See, life. Let there be. Can you hear the tone? See, we must actually get free from terms, from words. It's all tones. It's spiritual tones. Let there be. Can I hear the life impulsion, you see? The enormous urge and drive there is in being and says, let there be. And then the next thing it says, and God made. It's factual. It's truth. He did it. And then he said, and it's good what I have done. It is, as always, a sense of love in it, which says it's the maximum of good, it's the best that could be done. So what do you want more? Can you hear that behind those 7 days of creation, in each day, stands that terrific drive of being, which wants to manifest itself, which says nothing has ever been made but what was made by the Word of God? So the Word of God is that which has life, truth and love calls new worlds into existence. And that's what happened to us. That's what happened to us if in consciousness we get that peace and rest and quietude. where we just listen and listen to divine signs and the one life, life knowing itself, life being itself, life is what it is, easing, easiness. See? And then you can't help, you will feel it, you can't help it, you have not to think about it. It comes that suddenly something begins to move within your consciousness and says, let there be. There is a new revelation. There is the spontaneity of being going on. And what is moving you, what is moving your consciousness, what is moving your feeling, what is moving your action, is really that life impulsion. And you can be quite sure that that what is now moving you is true, it is right, the best of what we can think of, because it is of the nature of love. And then you are so sure that what you do, you can stand there and the whole world can be against you. You just stand there and you feel, oh, it doesn't matter. One on God's side is more than 1,000 on each side. Because it's no more you. It's being. And you are so secure and rooted on the rock of being that you feel nothing can move me anymore. Now, this does not apply to Max. This applies to being. And as we have seen, there is only one life. I don't have another life than your life. There is one life. And therefore, this impulsion of life, truth, and love is felt by everyone. It's felt by everyone. This is really the great success mechanism that is in being, so that everyone programmed to success feels that, because being is built that way. And we just stand in awe, so to say, before life, truth, and love and say, my word, without that I do anything to it, without being having be a good boy and trying to be a good boy, being itself is going on and doesn't do anything else but impelling life, the newness of life. And that what it is impelling, I can be sure, is true, is right, has the right form, is correct, because it's of the nature of truth, and has in itself already everything that is necessary for its fulfillment, because it is at the point of fulfillment. It is life fulfillment. There is no process, no time. This combination of life, truth, and love is really quite a terrific combination. I try to write down a few of them. Life, truth, and love in absolute Christian Science. It's only a few, but perhaps those who give you the tone. Now, I speak about tones, you see, because one can read words. One can mentally assimilate words, but that doesn't do very much. It is consciousness. It is through the state of pondering these things and making them one's own inward consciousness and feeling and touch that one feels there are like music, like tones, and then one gets free from the individual words. And so I just want to take a few of these chords, these divine chords that express life, truth, and love. See, I said here, in life, it's the creative. That's how Mr. Dorley pinpointed it in the days of creation. He said, life is the creative. Truth is the factual. And love, the fulfilled. So, inwardly in your ear, when you are quiet. And when you are quiet, you begin to hear the music. That something within ourselves begins to hum. And that hum should stay on as we go out into the streets and to the business. That hum should follow us after a while, wherever we go, every step which says, just go on, old boy, just as you like. Whatever happens, my old boy, doesn't matter. There is a divine system of reference, a divine power that is taking you, and that's that power of life, the impulsion of life. And that impulsion of life is the only fact that this is going on. That is undisturbed by everything, and it has within itself the seed of fulfillment. And as you get that touch, culture it, it stays with us. It stays with us so that wherever we go, more and more consciously, that hum just goes with us as an inward feeling, as an inward security, which says, not your individual life, not what your individual human expression seems to testify to you, not that is really going on. Not all the trouble in the business, in the family, in the nation is going on. What's going on in reality is just the impulsion of life, which is the only factual and is already in the state of fulfillment. Or we could express that same tone by saying, life is the infinite impulsion. That impulsion is always that which has a true form, which therefore brings forth the form of lives which are true, the experiences of life which are true. And they are always in a state of perfection. And as one listens to that, you see, one feels held in the arm of beings. Or you take the well of life. Life, you see, is like a big source of life, a well of life, an inexhaustible well of life. And you just feel, without that I do anything to it, that inexhaustible well just wells up constantly within oneself, within the world, within every situation, just wells up its whole impulsion to express itself. And so truth says, yes, that is not going to spill over all over the place. It has a true form. It takes the form of a true result. And that result is in itself complete. You see, what we have here on this list is just that we vary the words, but not really the tone of life, truth, and love. Or we can say that divine life is the divine urge. The divine urge, which urges forth constantly what? Always infinite truths. And these infinite truths are inexhaustible. They have such a wealth within themselves, such a richness within themselves, that they are overflowing with richness. They are inexhaustible. Or you have as life, the spontaneity of life. I like that spontaneity of life. It's the greatest liberation we can feel. You know, most of us have been brought up in an age where we are still coined or formed by religious beliefs, by the Bible, by the Old Testament, where it says, what you sow, that is what you reap. Everything what you do today is the effect of what has been the cause of yesterday. What you do today is the cause of what you will reap tomorrow. All nonsense. That's the Old Testament that says such old nonsense. The science of being doesn't know that thing, that what the human does, that is reality. The only reality there is the infinite well of life. And therefore, every split second, I can be absolutely free from the past. Whatever I have done in the past has no influence on my present. If I don't believe that, then I'm a religionist, and then I'm jolly well going to suffer it out. I'm going jolly well to suffer it out as long as I feel I have to suffer it out. But if we are scientists, we are always going right back to the principle.